Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
It is game night. Let's go.
It's a must win, Mark. Let's lock in,
that
baby.
That feels like a warm shower when it comes
it
from
should.
You.
You know what? If they don't win tonight, it's over. You can go ahead. You can go ahead and pull up the stakes and shutter the whole darn thing. The season is over if they don't beat the Lambs tonight here at Levi's.
Well, it's not totally true because Juwan Jennings is on my fantasy team, and I'm going to need him next week too, whether they win or lose tonight. But I get your point, and like I said, there are certain statements that have gravity, and then sometimes they have even more gravity because of who's saying them.
Yeah.
To hear Dan Dibley say must win just gives me a little shiver up the spine.
And it's a must win. It's also a must win for Ken against you in fantasy.
Well,
and I've decided
I got multiple playoffs.
Of the six of you in the playoffs, there's only one person that I can tolerate winning the whole damn
and
thing.
It ain't me. I know that.
It's Carter Chickering.
It's Carter Chick. Well, he is the big bad dog. He's the one seed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one seed.
Anyway.
Anyway, it's a kickoff show brought to you by Habits Law. We are live right here at the Hilton in Santa Clara. We are so thankful, as always, for their hospitality, and we are looking at the tailgate, which at this hour is still calm, but growing, and I think enjoying the dry that we have for the moment. We've got plenty of things that we will get to 49er related as we get closer to the game, but Dibs, obviously to start this show, this is yet another emotional warrior game that goes the wrong way from our perspective, and so I think we would love to put it out to all of you right away, because even if you just listen to the crossover, you know that when you all went to bed last night, I would argue each of you had a different thing that stood out in your head as to, quote, what went wrong. So let's play with it. 888-957-9570. What has you most concerned, or what were you focused on as far as the problem that came to light at the end of that basketball game last night and leads to the one-point loss. What stands out?
For me, it's execution. You don't execute, and, you know, we can all talk about the officials, and I'm accused.
And we will.
I'm appropriately accused of being pro-ref in many ways, and I spent a lot of time on Twitter, on X last night, going back and forth with a lot of fans about the officials and this and that. For me, the bigger headline is, what the F is happening on offense in crunch time?
Quick aside, I think I misread your tweet last night. We should let everyone know what you tweeted.
Because, I had a lot of tweets.
Well, Steve said, and we're going to play a little bit of the Steve Kerr for you right away. I don't want to assume that everybody heard what he said, because I bet a lot of you hucked your remote off the balcony last night as soon as the game ended, and maybe you didn't see what Steve said. So we'll play it for you in a minute. But one of the things Steve said was that call at the end of the game, I don't think an elementary school ref would make that call.
He said it was unconscionable and something an elementary school official wouldn't have called.
And you
came over the top.
Came over the top with a hammer, and you wrote, "I know one elementary school official who would have made that call." And I read that as, I think it's Dan. I think he's talking about himself.
Maybe.
Now, unless you're talking about one of your coworkers,
could be a colleague.
Was it Daryl? I don't know. Like, was it one of these other people? But I took that to mean you would make that call, and then today you're saying you wouldn't make that call.
Well, honestly, if I'm in the NBA and I'm one of those three officials, I wouldn't make that call.
Okay.
Because for me, when you look at the whole sequence, and Gary gets it, and FVV, Fred Van Vliet, he doesn't dive on him. He dives kind of on him.
Yeah, whatever.
That to me, we play through that. Gary still has the ball. He shovels it to nowhere. Okay, fine. Now the ball's loose again, and now you have Green goes down and gets it, and Kuminga dives for it. Kuminga never ties up the ball.
Correct.
Kuminga only kind of like gives him a little bit of a chokehold on accident, but for me, the only thing you could have called there is either a foul on Kuminga or you grant the timeout.
Correct.
So for me, at the elementary school level, I would have probably let that play out a little bit longer. I wouldn't have called anything because there's 3 seconds left. It's a one-point game. Let's see how this plays out. That's elementary school, fourth and fifth grade, my specialty. In the NBA, in that moment, and you see the sequence, honestly, the referee who's furthest away comes in with the fist, which indicates a foul.
Wow.
At that moment, the three of them should have gotten together and said, hey, did anybody see a timeout? Because it was clear that Brooks,
everybody
a full
was
second before,
totally.
Was asking timeout.
Well, and there's a piece of the puzzle here that I guess, I don't know if the refs, if they did come together and talk this out, I don't really know if any of them would bring this up, but it would have been nice if one of them would. Here's what I would, let's pretend.
They didn't talk it out.
I know, but let's pretend the huddle happened, and I'm one of the other refs who didn't call the foul. Here's what I would have said to the ref who did call the foul. You know, we ain't called crap in about a half hour.
All game.
We have let these guys beat each other to a pulp for the last 45 minutes. I think it might come off as a little disingenuous if we suddenly decide with 3 seconds left to call a loose ball foul on the ground on the wrong side of the court. I think that's what Steve's getting at. So you're not wrong. Kuminga clubs him. That's why he wouldn't have won a review.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong in sort of like that point. And to me, though, neither is Steve. Because it's like, dude, that call was the Where's Waldo of the game. I'm looking at an entire product going, well, that's the one thing that stands out off this page that you all did differently than everything else you've been doing.
They let it all go. I mean, Steph got mugged on a play, and even if you want to talk about pods in the last shot of the game where he might have got his arm hit on the three ball, looked like the shot was blocked and then the follow-through hit his arm. So many people are saying that's a foul. There was a lot of things that were fouls. Houston shot 10 free throws. The Warriors shot 9. That gives you an idea of what the game was like in terms of the whistle. But for me, the bigger umbrella to all of this is you late in games don't seem to have much of an offensive identity other than Steph, go do it. That's your play. Steph, Steph, go do it.
Well, but you know what's interesting about that is that is what a lot of NBA teams do at the end of close games. I mean, the conversation we just had on the Crossover Guru, he's asking for Kuminga to do that. If they were playing the Thunder on Saturday night in Vegas and the game was tied and the Thunder had the ball with 20 seconds to go, what do you think they would do? Hey, Shea, here's the ball. Have a good time.
But this was like, a full 3 minutes to me. Like,
understood, but you get what I'm saying. Like, at the end of games, you give it to your star. Put it in their hands and let them create.
Right, but in this case, your star is almost 37, and he is highly trappable, and he's not a guy who's going to get to the cup and finish a lot in traffic because you're not getting the call, and it's something that you and I can talk about later in the show about, does Steph get the whistle? And no, he doesn't. So Steph at 6'3", going to the rim is not going to get a lot of whistles, especially in a game where they're not calling anything anyway. I'd like to see them run a play or, you know, run an action, run something other than Draymond at the top screen, Draymond re-screen, Steph, what are you going to do? Wiggle, wiggle, pass, Steph gets it back.
I mean, this is a championship process that they've used.
But it's not working, and it didn't work for a long period of time last night.
Let's hear from some of you. A lot of people are lined up ready to roll. Adam, in San Francisco, you're on with Willard and Dibs. We're live at the Niner game. We're going to be getting you ready for that as we get closer, but let's keep talking Dubs. Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Besides the, I don't even want to talk about the refs. How about we highlight the fact that the team that is dead last in free throw shooting percentage again shot, what, 50-something? I mean, they were 4 of 9. I know they weren't getting the line, but it's like that's still not good enough. And then what I feel like hasn't been talked about all day, it feels like maybe a little bit, is the 22 turnovers that led to 30 points. Yeah. And a lot of those turnovers were not good defensive plays. They were just bad passes. So what I wanted to highlight was the free throw shooting because it has come up time and time again, especially in these last 11 games that they're 2-9 in.
Like, first of all, Adam, I think very fair points. I've got the Warriors at 15 turnovers last night. Do I have that wrong? I'm looking at the box score right now. 15 turnovers for the Warriors, 16 for the Rockets. That's what the box score says.
There's a separate category of team turnovers, which includes all the shot clock violations.
Got it. Okay. So that's what brings it up over 20. And I, you know, that's
six
fair.
Of them.
Yeah, six of them. That's a lot.
That's a whole month.
I mean, look, there's no way around that. There's no way around that. I will say, though, you had two things last night. Both teams played phenomenal defense.
Yeah.
They're both very good, good defensive teams.
Why were both teams playing so hard, you think?
Because
NBA Cup.
Yeah, right. No, because it's a basketball game that they're trying to win.
I mean,
no,
man,
wait, look.
If that didn't feel like a playoff game, I don't know what would.
But you know what? It's funny. You try to pin me on that. And
I'm not trying to pin you. I'm trying to point out the facts.
No, but you gave me a little wry grin on that. And
gave you a little wink. And even Vasu Vadibidiati, who is courtside, he saw it.
Who listens every day, I bet, knows that what I said yesterday is that we're not lacking in terms of the players wanting the cup. We're lacking in terms of what it means for us, the fan. I don't care that the Warriors wanted it. I want us to want it.
We're doing a whole show on it at the foot of the Niners-Rams game and a must-win because that game last night was huge.
No, we're doing it because the Warriors blew another one. That's why.
What did they blow?
A game.
What kind of game?
A basketball game.
What kind of basketball game?
One that came on a Wednesday night.
It was a cup game.
It was an interconference game.
You know what it was? It was a must win for the NBA Cup.
Stop. Yeah, for the NBA Cup it was. But now they get to have Clay back in town. All right.
Yay.
If you want, yay. Don't dismiss Clay like that. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. The number is 888-957-9570, and we want to know specifically what stood out to you as the problem at the end of the game last night. We'll keep taking your calls, and if you didn't hear Steve Kerr get loose after the game last night, stay right where you are, because we got all that sound coming up next. It's a kickoff show from Habits Law in Santa Clara, Willard and Dibs.
Shot clock down to 13. Curry at midcourt. Drive to the top of the key. Step back, three over Brooks. No good. Rebound loose. And GP2 goes to the floor to get it. He throws it away. And now the Warriors get it. And we give a foul. A foul. Bill Kennedy's called a foul on the floor. With 3.5 to go. And that's going to put the Rockets to the free throw line. Oh, my goodness.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Ooh, yeah, there's a lot to chew on there. And Tim Roy, as he so often does a great job of, I think, capturing the emotion of the fans, of Steve Kerr. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, look, one thing I try to do, Dibs, I don't know if you do this, and this is the kickoff show, Habas Law. We thank them for being such a wonderful partner. Willard and Dibs are live on the scene at the Hilton Santa Clara and the beautiful tailgate and getting ready for Niners and Rams tonight. There's lots to discuss there, and we will. But one thing I try to do is I know that I am emotionally tied to the Golden State Warriors. So when you have something like that, when you have a head coach go after officials and a controversial end of the game, I know that I am vulnerable to leaning in the direction of my favorite team, because that's what people do. The refs are always against us. So I tried to spend a bunch of time on social media last night looking at what the national view of the game was. And you may be surprised by this. I mean, just scores of the NBA reporting, just sort of tribe, all in disbelief that this game went the way it did and that call was made. And I found that interesting because these are people who are not even there and right, not coming right from the Warrior perspective.
Yes, interesting, yet in general, when something like that happens to any team, the overarching consensus is always going to be anti-ref. When there's a call that people think should have been made or shouldn't have been made, everybody who's not close to the situation is going to, by default, come down on the refs. You're not going to see a lot of people come out and say,
you know what?
I can see where the refs made that call. It was a foul, and, you know, no matter the time and the circumstance, that call's got to be made. And we always talk about this in other sports, like in the NFL, where if that's a flag in the first quarter, it's got to be a flag in the fourth quarter. And when it's not, or in the playoffs when the games are officiated differently, we all get mad because, well, if that's holding in the regular season, it should be holding in the Super Bowl.
No, it's a fair point, but I don't know that that's exactly what's going on here. I don't think people are saying you can't call that because there's 3 seconds left. I hear people saying, you don't ever call that. Like, when do you see somebody get free throws for multiple people diving on the floor going for a ball that is nowhere near either of the hoops? I think
that was Steve's point. Steve's point was you never call it at that point.
You don't.
At that point of the game.
I think that largely you don't make that call at all. Like, to say there's contact when multiple people dive on the floor, it's like, well, duh. I mean, honestly, if you're going to, I get that when you slow it down, Kuminga hits him. There's no two ways about that. But what I'm saying is when multiple people dive on the floor, there's always contact. There's always a foul. Fred VanVleet fouled GP2. If we're going to look at it that way, if there's contact, there's a foul. Well, then he was fouled too.
Right. If there's contact, there's a foul.
Yeah, but you don't call that.
You didn't call anything all night.
Right.
So that the bigger point is, why would you call it with 3.5 to go? And that was Steve's point. It's unconscionable to call it at that point. If that was 10:48 to go in the second quarter, and that exact same thing happened, and Kuminga dove on the floor and clearly didn't tie it up, and, you know, grabbed Green around the neck, you call the foul, and everyone moves on.
Yeah, because it doesn't bother you as much. It doesn't make
exactly
it a good call, though. Like, I don't ever see that. You almost never see when there's jostling on the floor for a ball, you very rarely see somebody call a foul, especially when it's somewhere near midcourt. So I'm not disregarding what you're saying. That's why it bothered everyone, because it felt like it decided a game. But let's hear from plenty of you, and let's obviously pay off what we promised, which is letting you hear what exactly Steve Kerr said after the game. So this is a 90-second rant that Steve had right after the game. Here it is.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate, especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot, just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made, because that guy would have had feel and said, you know what, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
And that guy does have feel, Steve, and that I'm glad you pointed that out.
That guy would have had some feel.
That guy's been doing it for 35 years, and that guy's got elite feel.
Is this a coincidence that Steve Kerr comes on every week with an elementary school ref and then references them and the feel that they would have in a press conference when he's frustrated? Pretty hard to pass along to me that that's an accident.
No, it's not coincidence at all. And, you know, I think the greater point in all of this, the 90-second clip is great, and I wonder how much the fine will be. My guess is going to be 20 grand, maybe 25,000.
I'll take the over.
Over on 20 grand?
Yeah.
You think he's not getting 50 for that?
Probably not, but I feel like it's one thing to talk about the refs. It's the next thing to get mad at the refs. And then it's a third thing to start name-calling the refs. I think the elementary school comment, I take the over.
Over on 20 grand.
I'll take the over on 20 grand. I'll take, yeah.
Probably 25 feels about right, but, you know, ultimately he can afford it. And, you know, I do think that the better thing that the refs could have done, and I'm looking at the play for like the 38th time, and you look at it, and you look right here, Mark, with 4.6 to go.
Yes.
And you've got Brooks, Shangoon.
All trying to call timeout.
And I don't know who that is.
That's
and you've got two referees looking at the play.
And Steve Kerr is 5 feet onto the floor.
So, Steve, I hope you've landed now and you're hearing this, Steve, but, I mean, honestly, you could be teed up. You're on the court.
Yes, you could be.
So if you want to talk about things that aren't called, that would be unconscionable.
I know, but like,
if they would have stopped everything and said, you know what? And what you don't see is the ref actually has to push him out of the way. And that's coming up
here.
Yeah,
his arm bar.
Right there.
That's right. He's protecting him.
He's trying to do his job.
I know, but you and I walk 2 miles through the city every day.
Yep.
Do you ever cross against the red hand?
No, but I usually cut the middle of the block.
Do you cut the middle of the block?
I probably commit 7 to 10 pedestrian crimes.
And would you do that right in front of a cop?
Of course.
Of course, because you know what? It's illegal.
You can't come
for me. But it ain't getting called. They got bigger fish to fry. Same thing here.
Well,
same thing here.
The bigger issue, the bigger fish to fry, as we're looking at the play again, you've got the two closest officials looking in at what's going on, and then Bill Kennedy is top of the arc is 19-9. He's at the baseline.
Yeah, he's not
22
even on
feet
the
away.
He's not even on your computer
right
now.
He's the one who, tweet, he's the one who barges in and steals everything. So
it's a lack of awareness.
Well,
it just is.
It's a lack of cohesiveness among the officials. Because
call it that if
the
you
two
want,
guys
sure.
who are closest are watching it and letting it play out. Because there's no point during this where it's a tie-up. You can't call a jump ball because Kuminga never even touched the basketball.
No, it's not. Yes, you're correct. Timeout. You could grant the timeout.
And I wonder why they didn't.
Three different players.
Yes, I wonder why they didn't grant the timeout. Because they clearly, like right here, as he's pushing Steve Kerr off the court, and if I was that ref, I would have just stopped everything and cracked a T on him because he's out of the coach's box.
Wouldn't. wouldn't have.
That would have solved everything.
No, you wouldn't have. You'd have been in the corner eating your turkey sandwich you're always talking about.
Yeah, clock runs.
Let's go to, I know, right?
Clock runs.
Get your 45 bucks.
Let's go.
Joe in San Jose.
Tax free.
888-957-9570. What stood out as the reason that it all went down last night? Hey, Joe, thank you for calling Willie and Dibby. What's good?
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You make a good point. Both of you guys make a good, valid point. The thing that stood out to me is that I want to ask you guys, Steph Curry is a true point guard. So everybody talking about what they should have gave it to Kuminga, but Steph has the skill sets to drive that ball to the rim if he wanted to get a better shot. He don't have to always take those three high-risk three-point shots. Steph Curry is a true point guard. He should have drove that ball in. It was plenty of time. He could have took some of the clock off. And not only that, but Steph Curry is a good free throw shooter. So that's the thing that stood out to me. And Steph Curry has the green light to do whatever he wants. Steph Curry wanted to play hero basketball. And I didn't think at that time it was necessary. Do you guys agree with me on that? Steph Curry is a true point guard and that he could have drove that ball to the rim if he really wanted to get a better shot? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. I like the premise of your point I agree with, which is that Steph saw an opportunity for a shot that he thinks that he can make in his sleep, and it would have been a night-night celebration and a trip to Vegas. Who knows? Maybe he would have even rolled the air dice.
Well,
I don't know what he would have done. But
honestly, it wouldn't have been a night-night because it would have been a four-point game with 10 seconds left.
Like, correct. But he's night-nighted less than that.
Well, Draymond surely has.
Yeah. Like,
when the ball hits the rim, there's 11 seconds left. So if that goes in...
That's the point.
Houston's got a timeout. They use it. They advance it. They're only down four.
They hit a three with, 6 seconds left.
Or they hit a two. Whatever. The game is not over.
It's not over, but I get that, again, the premise of what Joe is saying, I agree with. However, I don't think you necessarily needed to drive the ball to the rim and try this, that, or the other. You can just hold it. Like, literally, in that moment, there is a strategic edge to doing this. I am going to hold the ball out here just beyond the three-point arc. I've got handles. I am going to dribble around. If you foul me, great. I'm going to go shoot my two free throws. We're going to be up by three. Or if you don't foul me, I am going to wait until as long as possible, whether it's 3, 2, or 1 left on the shot clock. I'm going to fire a high arcing three-point shot toward the rim and trust that I can hit the rim. It's literally all you need to do.
Yep.
And if you hit that rim, the best...
It's game over.
It's game over. If it goes in, it's game over. If it doesn't go in, Houston's standing there with a rebound in their hands with 2.5 seconds left to go.
Tops.
And they're 85 feet from the hoop.
And they use their timeout, and they advance it.
Fine, but still, that's what I would have done.
Agreed. And you look at the highlight here, as Steph is shooting, Draymond is alone and open. GP2 on the weak side is open. Steph had options. He didn't have to shoot this three. The differential was 3.2 seconds between shot and game clock. So the fact that he shot it with 9 left on the shot clock is hubris. And you know what? He's earned it. He's earned level of arrogance.
You're right.
He's earned the hubris. He's earned the right to make a bad decision based on how good he is. And if he makes it, I don't think it's game over. You're up 4 with 10 seconds left.
You got this,
I like
though.
The chances.
Yeah, you got this.
But if you miss it and you don't get the rebound,
then what happened can happen.
Exactly.
Manly Man, San Francisco. Yo, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey. There's three things that cost them the game. And the first one was officiating. Now, if the officiating was tight throughout the entire game and there were 25, 30 fouls on each team, then that would have been a call and that would have been game over. No problem with that. But it wasn't officiated that way. That's problem number one.
Yeah.
The official should have never, ever made that call, like Steve Kerr said. That's problem number one. Problem number two was the 22 turnovers.
Oh.
They take over 16 seconds to get across the line, or roughly 17 seconds to get across the 8-second line. And then they get into run their offense with about 7 to 10 seconds left. So if they mess up or there's no player movement, then they're screwed. They're one and done if they're lucky. And they had two 24-second violations. out of the last three in the game, and that's what cost them, or the last four. And that's really stupid. They were doing great pushing the ball and getting up to the court. I know the clock is an issue, but if you make a two, you're up three. If you make a three, you're up four, and it might be night-night. But they are taking way too long and all those calls to get into their offense. And the third problem with the Warriors is a lot of times they stand around and watch Curry basically try to save their butts. And that's a problem, because if they were moving without the ball, like Gary Payton does a lot, but if they're moving, they'd be in better position and they could get an easier pass. I kind of agree with the other caller that if Curry would have stepped in to take a two, he would have been better off, because he was 3 for 9 on threes. He wasn't making them. Either his leg is hurting or he didn't have legs that late in the game. And all those issues combined together is what cost him the game.
That's a good call, Manly Man.
Yeah,
thank you.
Manly Man, thank you. You got the order wrong, but I appreciate you you putting them all in there.
Number one is always the refs. That's life. That's how sports work.
22 turnovers. That was all actually the refs.
Well, so let me break this down for a second.
Come
because
on,
we
man.
All know, and I think it is the job of friends to know the things that are held near and dear to your friends and then accept them for the way they are. I accept you for the way you are, but let's be real, you get triggered when people talk refs.
I'm not triggered by it.
Just say maybe a little bit, Mark. Maybe a little bit.
You know what? Maybe a little bit.
Okay,
the
that's
only
all
issue
I
have with Manly Man is his order, because reason number one was not the referees. Reason number one is 22 turnovers.
Well, reason number one is whatever you think it is. That's what he thinks it is. It's what Steve Kerr thinks.
I'll tell you what I think, and I'm lucky enough to have had a radio show in this market for 25 years.
Whoop.
Manly Man is wrong. That's what I think.
Well, that's fine.
Call again tomorrow, and I'll shoot you down again. Because
you don't know what he's going to say tomorrow.
Your order's out of whack.
Maybe he'll call tomorrow and
I'll
say, Dibs, you were right, and then I'll say you're wrong.
So the Rams somehow win tonight, and I'll tell you right now, it's going to be because of the refs. It's going to be because the Niners didn't beat the Chiefs because Nick Bosa got held.
No, but Dibs.
What are we doing?
Dibs, I'll tell you what we're doing.
What the
hell? We're being human beings. You have to be able to separate these things. Like, any time, almost any time in life of sports, if the referees become a story, if people are talking about the referees, it is an omnipresent response to say, well, but you could have played better, because nobody ever uncorks a perfect day. That doesn't exist. So, of course.
But we expect the refs to be perfect.
No, we don't.
That's what we as a sports collective do.
No, we don't. But not all mistakes are built the same. And I think what Steve is saying is that some of these end-of-game mistakes by officials stand out. This one, to him, stood out. I don't think that we have to tuck that into the idea of, well, now the Warriors are asking for excuses for all the mistakes they made. No, those exist as well. And I bet that he handled those behind closed doors.
Did I miss the cut of him on the podium talking about how Steph shot it too soon?
But what,
did I miss the cut of him talking about six shot clock violations?
Why does he need to say that?
He doesn't need to say anything, but all we want to grasp onto is him criticizing the officials,
Dibs.
And that's sexy. Does he come out on the podium and say, well, you know what? Having six shot clock violations, that's unconscionable.
That's potentially throwing his team under the bus, and he doesn't need to because
right.
his team is in a locker room and he can go say that directly to them. He can't say that to the refs.
But you can throw the refs under the bus because it's convenient.
No, because they're not in his locker room and he doesn't have access to them. And they're not also on his team. And they're not
He's
part
allowed
of his
to
family.
Say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But I look at his comments and I look at it and I say, yes, that is classic deflection. He's deflecting away from the real issue. The real issue was, over the last 3 minutes of the game, your team could not get a basket. Your team stunk. And you put a defender on Alperen Şengün, who got absolutely fricasseed in a huge moment.
You're not
These
wrong.
Are the issues.
You're not wrong. But that's not what coaches say in a press conference.
I don't care what coaches say in a press conference.
What
I'm saying on a sports talk radio show
you know,
is the real issue.
That's fine, but this is not what you're saying. saying on a
sports
talk.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, you're saying this is classic deflection.
It is deflection.
And that means you're telling Steve Kerr he should have said something different last night.
He's allowed to say whatever he wants.
Which is patently ridiculous because it's not what coaches do.
He gets mad at the officials because that's convenient and that's something that will have no ill effects in the locker room. I totally understand.
No, it's not just that. Like, there is...
It is just that. What's the benefit of him doing that? And you asked us about Debo earlier in his tweets.
It's messaging.
Like, what does Debo get out of going to Twitter and talking about how he needs to get the ball? What does Steve Kerr benefit by going out there and crushing the refs for a call that didn't go his way?
And I can easily...
What does he benefit?
I mean, if Phil Jackson were sitting right here, he would answer this question way better than I. Working the refs in press conferences so that there's messaging to the league so that that league is looking at situations and referees are looking at situations so that they won't make the same mistakes again is incredibly valuable, and it only ramps up in the playoffs when working the refs has been put to an art form by the best coaches. That's completely different.
Yeah, you said this is like the third time he's gone out there and complained about refs.
It's just completely different than a wide receiver going to Twitter, which is just spitting something into the wind that goes nowhere valuable. That's totally different. So there is value in Steve doing this, or else he wouldn't do it.
Well, there's perceived value. We don't know that there's absolute value.
He believes there's value.
Right. There's value in the league because now they're going to get $25,000 or so from Steve Kerr for being critical of officials. And how can you say there's value when this is now the third time he's gone out and criticized the refs, and yet they're still making calls that go against him late in games?
But that's a catch-all. Maybe
he's not doing it right.
No, these are specific calls. It's not about I hate the refs. It's about that kind of call can't be made. So you can't blend all three together and say they're the same. I mean, are you arguing right now that there's no value in talking about this stuff in a public space? Because I think every NBA coach ever disagrees with you.
What I'm arguing, and I'm not arguing anything, I'm pointing out my perception of what he did, which is deflection. He's deflecting the attention away from the real issue, which is at the end of the game, at the end of games, your team has struggled to score and you've struggled to close out opponents.
I don't think
that to me, is it not an issue?
Of course it is, but that you handle with your team.
Right.
You handle that. You don't handle that in the press conference.
But when you go to the press conference and you have a tantrum and you assail the officials over a call that didn't go your way.
It wasn't a tantrum.
I can call it what I want to call it.
Sure.
And, you know, whatever he did, he's going to get fined for it.
Yeah.
So whatever he did was strong enough to where he's going to draw a fine, and he does that with intention. Everything he says, and he told us this, everything he says is with intention.
Yep.
So he does that knowing full well that this is going to be now the headline grabbing. It's not going to be the 6 shot clock violations or the fact that, you know, Draymond had 5 turnovers and you couldn't get a bucket for the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I would be stunned if we were sitting here today and Steve Kerr had a press conference where he had said, okay, let's talk about this. Draymond Green had 5 turnovers. This is unacceptable. We can't have this anymore.
It's unconscionable.
It's unconscionable from our future Hall of Famer. Come on, man. Like, that's not the way the game works. Keep it locked with us for the kickoff show. We're live from the Hilton Santa Clara. We will get you ready for Niners-Rams as we get closer. It's all presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. And we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll keep taking your calls, 888-957-9570. What stood out to you as the problem last night in the final 2 minutes of that game? We'll continue to take your calls. Our buddy Jake Hutchinson, who covers the Niners for us, will be along this hour. That is all coming up next on Willard and Dibs.